Our sermon today is based on the continued reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 21. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the sound like the blowing of a violent or mighty rushing wind, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, hear them speak God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Through the prophet Joel, 'In the last days it will be,' God declares, 'that I will pour out my flesh, my spirit upon sons, and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" May God add blessings to the reading. Is anybody here today in the market for a new car? Well, did you know that you would be very scriptural if you bought an Accord? Yes, indeed, because in the Bible it says right there in Acts 1:14, the disciples continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Okay, bad Bible joke aside, today's retelling of the story of Pentecost is very timely. God's word is always very timely. It was 50 days after Jesus' crucifixion and only a little while after his ascension into heaven. Still uncertain, still unsure, still a bit afraid, the disciples, now numbering about 120, were all together in one place. Many times it's happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to you as well, that I read a verse or a story in the Bible, one that I've read countless times before, almost not paying attention because, hey, I've read it countless times before, and I know what it says. I'm not going to see anything new. And then all of a sudden, something jumps out at me from the passage or the story, and I do see something new, something that I've never seen before. A phrase or a word that I previously glossed over suddenly takes on a new neon quality, blinking for my attention. And I swivel my head to look at it again and think, how come I never noticed that before? Sometimes you don't notice something because it's not the right time or circumstance for you to notice it. When I read a scripture in preparation for writing a sermon, I open myself, heart and mind, instinct and intellect, to the Holy Spirit, asking, what do you want me to see in this piece of scripture? What would you have me learn and then teach to others from it? That brief phrase, all together in one place, really stood out for me when I began to read the story of Pentecost. I've read it countless times before and preached on Pentecost numerous times, and yet I never had those five words, all together in one place, grab my attention as they did this time. Because how timely are those words? How compelling are those words at this very time when we are not all together in one place as we normally are, but are scattered and shuttered due to the coronavirus? How we long for the time when we can sit side by side in our pews and pass the communion trays to one another, and most of all, hug one another instead of bumping elbows, when we can gather without having to maintain physical distance or worrying about catching the virus or infecting someone else. We would like nothing more than to be all together in one place. We're all getting mighty tired of being shut down and quarantined and stuck, even though we know it's for the best and it's for the safety and health of everyone. And we know this too shall pass, but sometimes it's hard to deal with. At Pentecost, people came to Jerusalem for the Festival of Weeks, also known as the Feast of the Harvest. They brought their offerings of the first fruits of their crops to God. It was a joyous festival that many Jewish people from all over the known world came to celebrate all together in one place. There were people from Parthia, Media, Mesopotamia, Elam, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Egypt, and Arabia. The time was ripe for the advent of the Holy Spirit, the comforter and counselor and advocate that Jesus had promised God would send to his disciples on the night of his betrayal and arrest. "I will not leave you comfortless," Jesus told them. And Jesus, we know, keeps his promises. Right before his ascension, he had ordered them to stay in Jerusalem to await this gift from God, the Holy Spirit. He didn't say how long it would take before the gift came, so they had to be patient and watchful and wait, even as we have to be patient and watchful and wait for the coronavirus to pass away. At least those first disciples were all together in one place when that mighty rushing wind came and those tongues of fire landed on their heads. They shared the amazing experience, all of them together, and they were so awed and overwhelmed that they couldn't stay hidden in their meeting place anymore. They had to go out and share the good news with others. And how wonderful it was. It was no coincidence that right there in the city at that exact time were people from all over the world, ripe like their crops, to hear something new and exciting and challenging. Imagine Pentecost in a time of pandemic. The disciples wouldn't have been able to go up to the different people and talk to them in their own languages, face to face, about the wonders of God. They would have had to maintain 6 feet of space between themselves and the others and wear a mask. That would not have been very exciting. Thank goodness Pentecost happened when it did, when it was supposed to happen, when the disciples were all together in one place, waiting and watching and ready for whatever God planned to do with them and for them next. As always, God's Spirit was right on time. But it didn't stop there. Well, sure, at the start, for the first moments after the blessing of the arrival of the Holy Spirit, the disciples stayed where they were, inside the house where they usually met. But then the flames of fire of the Spirit compelled them to go out into the world, out to the people who needed to hear about God and about Jesus and all they offer: salvation, rest, redemption, release, mercy, forgiveness, love. The disciples were sent out to where those people were from one place. They made a dash to all places, sharing their message in the very languages of the people they met. You know, they say the coronavirus is very infectious. Even people who are asymptomatic can spread it swiftly and easily to the different people they come in contact with. And then those people spread it to others, and those people spread it to even more people, and so on and so on. And suddenly, it's all around the world. Pentecost, in a contrast, was a good infecting encounter. In the same way as this virus, but only better, much better, the word of God went from the disciples to the people in Jerusalem, infecting and inflicting and convicting and convincing them. They then shared it with other people they met and encountered, and it started going all around the world. It spread like a virus. Only it wasn't disruptive and destructive. The word of God is life-giving and life-saving, building up, not tearing down, sending out, not closing in, healing and heartening, not hurting and sickening. That's the kind of virus we need today, the infection of the Holy Spirit to call us together again and convict us of our need to get out there and share the word of God with all those others who are lost but seeking, in need and ripe and ready for God's harvest. Yes, we do look forward to the day, and may it come soon, when we are all together in one place again. But we also need to heed the lesson of the story of Pentecost. At the right time, once empowered and inflamed by the Holy Spirit, the disciples went out into the world, they found comfort and support from one another as they sat at that one place at a time when they were full of uncertainty and even doubt and impatience as they waited for the promised gift. But once they received that gift, they didn't stay put. They didn't hide it nor hoard it. They jumped up and they ran out, spurred on by the force of that mighty rushing wind. And they went to the crowds and to infect them with a marvelous story. Don't worry, we will soon all be together in one place. But in the meantime, in all the places where we are put, in all the circumstances and situations we find ourselves in, the power and the love of the Holy Spirit can find us and will fill us, and we will carry on the work and the witness of those disciples who went before us and led the way. We're all going to get in that holy Honda and take the ride of a lifetime together, and soon. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the wonderful, powerful, beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit, for the way she sends us out into the world with words of strength and hope and promise. Gather us together again, God of us all, so we can wait with and support and encourage one another, and then send us forth to proclaim your love and grace to the whole human race. Amen.